Be resolved to be awkward. Be resolved to be awkward. I don't know kung sino yung familiar sa inyo sa term na yan. But yung term na yan, natatandaan ko is yung paulit-ulit na sinasabi ni Pastor Alvin na nagsisimula pa lang ang Crossroads. At kung ikaw ay introvert katulad ko, medyo mahirap ito. Kasi yung ibig sabihin ng term na ito na ginagamit o sinasabi ni Pastor Alvin is to be intentional in approaching and asking questions sa bawat isa. Be intentional to go after sa mga miyembro or sa mga bisita. Ask intentional questions. Be intentional in praying and meeting for discipleship. And kung ikaw po ay first time dito sa iglesia, I hope na na-experience ninyo ito coming from our Asher's team or sa mga members na nag-invite sa inyo or mga members na hindi na lumapit sa inyo. For me, yung bagay na ito was the mark ng Crossroads. A time na kung saan I have personally benefited and grow in this area. And so umaga pong ito, our passage will talk about a command that will be a distinguishing mark ng bawat mananampalataya. A distinguishing mark that demonstrate God's saving work in Christ to the world. Now yung passage po na aralin natin sits at the very unique section ng aklat ng John. But before we go there, sa chapter 13, yung John po was written by the Apostle John. Si John po is one of the disciples, si Jesus Christ. He is the son of Zebedee, and he is known as the Beloved, and one of the inner circle ni Jesus Christ. Ang purpose po kung bakit isinulat ito ni John was written in chapter 20, verse 31, na sinabi niya, that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Gusto niyo pa pong malaman yung much more background nito, we have available the mga preaching series sa book ng John, which is makikita po ninyo sa ating website. Again, tulad po ng sinabi ko kanina, ang passage na aralin natin sits at the very unique section ng aklat ni John. Kung saan si Jesus had just concluded yung kanyang earthly ministry. So, nagturo siya, nagpagaling siya, and at the end of chapter 12, at the beginning of chapter 13, makikita ninyo that He is with His disciples. He is hours away sa kanyang crucifixion. He is with His disciples, teaching and giving an intimate farewell speech, giving His final words sa kanyang mga disipulo. Dinatawag po na literary style ito is the Testament, which is yung picture po nito is parang isang matanda na nasa deathbed and gathering yung kanyang mga anak and giving yung kanyang last will and testament. So parang ganito po yung nangyayari dito, which covers yung chapter 13 to chapter 17. Now in chapter 13, makikita po natin that Jesus begins His farewell speech. He serves His disciples by washing their feet. A task that is very, yung pinaka-lowest na task that is ever given sa isang servant. But Jesus did this to model how they ought to serve one another. This is also the time when Jesus instituted yung tinatawag natin na Lord's Supper, saan na ino-observe po ng iglesia every fourth Sunday or last Sunday of the month. And in this occasion as well, Jesus identified yung traitor. May kita niyan in chapter 13, verse 10. Now, if you're writing yung point po ng ating sermon this morning, a true disciple of Christ is marked by love that demonstrates God's glory to the watching world. And I have divided this po sa dalawang points, the demonstration of God's glory and the distinct mark of Christ's disciples. Let's begin to our first point. The demonstration of God's glory. Verse 31, yung sabi po niya dyan, when He had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Now is the Son of Man glorified. When He had gone out. Yung term na po na ito points us back sa immediate context kung saan yung sa verse 30 at sa upper na mga verses na yan, Jesus had handed Judas a morsel of bread and said, "Do what you must do." And Judas left and set the motion kapalapit na crucifixion ni Jesus Christ. Ang opening na section po na ito serves then na literary style or literary marker na ginamit ni John, ni Apostle John, to tell yung kanyang mga readers na what is about to happen sa upper room na yun is intended for the disciples of Jesus Christ and for the true disciples of Jesus Christ. And that means that Judas is not. Now, kung titingnan po natin, it's like Jesus endlessly waited, Judas left, and immediately started yung kanyang farewell speech dito. Now, ano po yung naging focus ni Jesus Christ dito? Makikita po natin that it's all about His glory, or yung topic na glory, the glory of God. Bakit po importante para kay Kristo na makita ng kanyang mga disciples yung glory? Yung glory na magaganap, or yung glory that will be displayed. Bakit importante ito sa kanya? Well, because this is the reason why He came. To reveal the glory of the triune God sa pamamagitan ng cross. And five times, makikita natin ito repeated. Yung salitang glorified or glorifying. Both words means to give, to extol, or to make one exceedingly glorious or great. Yan po yung ibig sabihin ng salita dito, or pagbibigay ng glory. Again, in verse 31, he said, "Now the Son of Man glorified." Ano pong ibig sabihin ni Jesus Christ dito? Now the Son of Man glorified. Who is this Son of Man? Or what is this? What does it mean to make the Son of Man exceedingly glorious? Kung titingnan po natin, kung babalik po kayo sa chapter 12, verse 23, makikita po natin some indications. So ano po yung ibig sabihin ni Jesus Christ dito? Makikita natin in chapter 12, verse 23, nung sinabi niya, Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Same thing. So nakita natin sa verse 31. And in the following verses, or in verse 32, ito yung sinabi niya, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth," that is the crucifixion, "will draw all people to myself." Again, clearly, Jesus is talking about His crucifixion. The impending crucifixion. But notice kung ano yung kasama nung topic ng crucifixion. What title did Jesus Christ use here? He said, "The Son of Man." The Son of Man. Ano po ba yung ibig sabihin ng Son of Man? Yung title na ito, kung makikita po natin, ay isa sa mga title na ginagamit ni Jesus. Isa sa pinakapaborito niya mga title na ginagamit. Actually, in this book, sa John, almost 12 times niya ginamit ito sa kanyang sarili. Tinawag niya yung kanyang sarili, Son of Man. Siguro, pag narinig natin yung salita na to, yung title na to, na Son of Man, naisip natin, he's just a mere man. Well, in fact, many religion, many people nowadays, and even in Jesus Christ's days, believe and claim that he's just a man. He's just a mere man. Makikita po natin yan in chapter 9, verse 14, nung unang niyang hinil yung isang blind man. Yung unang apprehension ng blind man that he is just a prophet. Jesus was rejected as well in his hometown. Makita natin in Matthew 13, 55 to 56. He was rejected because they don't believe that he is Son of God or he is a deity. But Jesus, friends, is not just a mere man. Jesus is God-man. Tulad na binasa natin kanina sa Apostles' Creed, kung makikita natin doon, the origin of Jesus is from heaven. He is born or begotten by the Spirit and born by the Virgin Mary. No, saan po ba nanggaling ito yung ginagamit dito ni Jesus Christ na Son of Man? Jesus Christ took this, bagay is fulfilling this, yung Daniel 7, 13 to 14, wherein Daniel saw a vision of a heavenly realm, kung saan nakita niya a son of man, or like a son of man, approaching the Ancient of Days. Ano pong ibig sabihin ni Daniel dito? That Jesus is a heavenly figure. That Jesus, his origin is from heaven. He's a heavenly man who left heaven and came to earth to do the will of the Father. To do the work of redemption. Kaya makikita po natin dyan, when the image of a like a son of man who approaches the Ancient of Days, makikita po natin dyan that the Father or the Ancient of Days given him something. God or the Father has given him dominion and glory and kingdom that all people could come in for the kingdom of God. What does he mean? Jesus used this as a title in his crucifixion that he's saying that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Makikita po natin ito in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Which, in isang aspect na ginamit ni Paul dito, he presented Christ in his humiliation. In John, Jesus viewed this as his glorification. But it has the same emphasis. Sabi dyan, sa Philippians 2, 8 and 9, sabi dyan, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, ito yung ginawa sa kanya ng Diyos Ama, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. He is Lord. Colossians 1:20. And through him, that is Jesus Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Remember yung confession ng centurion dun sa cross mismo. When he witnessed yung death ng Messiah. Ano yung naging confession niya in Matthew 27 verse 54? That truly, this was the Son of God. This was the Son of God. Friends, how do you view Jesus Christ sa buhay mo? Do you view Him as your Lord who is so glorious that encompasses ito, yung glory ng Panginoon sa buhay mo? Or do you see Him as a Lord? Or do you see Him, just a mere man? Do you view Him as a simple person? I have gained my lot, then it's fine. Here, we can see na yung idea po ng glory dito is not just an idea of Jesus Christ, but also by the Father. Nakikita natin again in verse 31, sabi niya, that God is also glorified in Him. God is also glorified in Him. How is the Father glorified in the Son? Paano po? Because of Christ or Jesus' perfect obedience and submission to the Father's will. What is that? That is His death on the cross. What the disciples will see on the cross of Christ is God's holiness being satisfied, His justice served, that His enemy, sin, Satan, and death is defeated. On the cross of Christ, the Father is exalted as well. The Father is glorified also. So we see a reciprocal glory giving here. The Father is glorified in the Son, and the Son will be glorified as well by the Father. But it did not end there. Tingnan po natin yung verse 32. In verse 32, makikita natin ang perfect trust ni Jesus sa kanyang Ama. Yung sabi dyan, if God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself and glorify Him at once. Ano po yung ibig sabihin dito ng word na if? Yung if po na kung usual po natin na ginagamit is something, it's a something diminishing na aspect, hindi po ba? But nung ginamit ito ni Jesus Christ na if God is glorified in Him, yung language po nito sa Greek, it is an assumed certainty. With us, if the power that is, it is already, kumbaga, it is already sure that He is being glorified, that He will be glorified. So we can, kung titingnan po natin, we can read yung verse 32 is this, that Jesus is certainly, or God, or Jesus is certainly glorified by the Father. And this is an important, this is important thing because we can see that Jesus has a full faith, full trust sa redemption na gagawin din sa kanya. The Father will raise Him up from the dead. He will raise the Son immediately and exalt Him into the highest position of the Lord of all. Ito po yung ibig sabihin na to glorify Him in Himself and glorify Him at once. The at once there means straight away. Meaning, Jesus view yung kanyang death, yung kanyang burial, yung kanyang resurrection, na parang dire-diretso lang. Parang isang event lang na dadaan. You see, friends, this is why Jesus can perfectly obey the Father even to the horrific death, in His horrific death on the cross. Because of His perfect trust, His perfect love to the Father, and the Father's perfect love and commitment to the Son. Friends, this is a model of a perfect relationship, a perfect love that exists between the Godhead. Now, after telling about His glory to His disciples, makikita natin in verse 33 that He turned His focus now to His disciples. Sabi niya in verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to you, or to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Now, ang term po dito na little children expresses yung tender care, yung love ni Jesus Christ sa kanyang mga disciples. Kasi alam niya that He is about to leave them. Si Apostle John, ginagamit niya ito na standard na title para sa kanyang mga disciples, sa kanyang mga followers. Now here, Jesus again is expressing His love, His concern sa kanyang mga disciples. Remember that Jesus was with them for 3 years. Jesus saw them grow in their faith. He experienced storm with them. He fed them. He teach them. He rebuked them. Jesus loved them even up to the end. And alam niya na palapit na yung kanyang pag-alis. And part ng kanyang in making a preparation in preparing his disciples sa kanyang absence is to give them the idea. Makikita natin dyan yung sinabi niya, "Yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Tulad po na sinabi ni Jesus Christ dito, na sinabi niya ito sa mga Hudyo, twice sa kanyang public ministry. And in both occasions, His enemy, yung ina-address ito ni Jesus Christ, is His enemy. His enemy is thinking, nung sinabi ni Jesus Christ dito, that He will just go in another place. And because of that, makikita natin in chapter 7, verse 34, and in chapter 8, 31, that He pronounced, this is a picture of eternal separation to them. Sinabi niya dyan, "You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am going, you cannot come." In chapter 8, 21, sinabi niya, "So He said to them, again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will surely die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come. Now, kung i-observe po natin sa verse 33, yung bagay na to, that you will not find me, and yung sa chapter 8 na sinabi niya, you will surely die in your sins. It's not mentioned towards kanya mga disciples. Hindi niya sinabi ito sa mga disciples niya. And this is a good thing for them. This is a good thing for them. This is a good news because it implies a temporal separation. This is a temporal separation ni Jesus Christ sa kanyang mga disciples. But the question is, where is Jesus going? Where is Jesus going? Jesus is heading to the cross, tulad na sinabi natin kanina, and do the will of the Father. When Peter asked him, Lord, saan ka pupunta? And even expressed his willingness to go with Jesus and to give up his life for Jesus, ang sinagot ni Jesus sa kanya, truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Jesus is referring to his death on the cross to accomplish the will of the Father. Friends, by willingly going to the cross, dahil po sa ating kasalanan. Jesus, you can see here, the problem for us is this, that we have offended a holy God. We have offended a holy God, a holy and righteous God. Kung titingnan po natin, intindihin po natin, there is no amount of sacrifice that can take away the Father's undiluted wrath against us. But only through what God provided to satisfy His own wrath. And that is the Son of Man. But unlike us, Jesus willingly obeyed the Father and left the heaven's glory to be identified with us. He took to himself a human form to represent us and live a perfect life that no one could. He lived a perfect, obedient life, even to the point of obedience to the cross. Friends, on the cross, Jesus took our sins on his body and took to himself the full range, the full magnitude, the full undiluted wrath of God sa kanyang sarili. And what makes it more worse is when God the Father turned his back from him. Na hindi kaya tingnan ng ama yung anak dahil sa kasalanan. Jesus bare our sins on his body on the tree. And he shouted, Te Telestai, which means, it is finished, and breathed out his last. But Jesus was buried, and on the third day, the Father raised him from the dead, and ascended back to heaven, and seated at the right hand of the Father as our advocate. As our advocate. Friends, this is a good news for us. This is a good news for his disciples. Because through Jesus, we have received reconciliation from the Father. And he also reconciled us to one another. And we can go to him and pray to him directly. Abba, Father. He has given us his Spirit as a seal that we are his people, that he has purchased us already from dominion of darkness and put us into his dominion of light. Friends, this is indeed a true love. God's love toward his people. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is the propitiation of our sins. And this is a big thing. Friends, if you are not yet in Christ and you are here right now, I plead you that you turn away from your sins and turn to Christ. Repent from your sins and believe in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, how should we live now as the true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or, in the case of his disciples, dito, how they should live in light of the reality that God is leaving them. In verse 34, makikita natin, which is our second point, the distinct mark of Christ's disciples. In verse 34, sabi niya, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Now, alalahanin po natin that in previous verses, Jesus told them about his impending crucifixion and exaltation. Disciples will temporarily be separated to him. Instead of telling them where they could find him, yun yung sinabi niya, he gave them isang instruction, a command on how they should treat one another in light of his absence. And what is this? Again, a new commandment. A new commandment. Now, ang command po na love dito is not new for these people. Hindi po bago ito para sa mga disciples ito because they are Jew. And this is part ng kanilang pang-araw-araw na ginagawa. This is part ng Torah. This is part na ng kanilang pinag-aaralan. Tulad po kanina sa binasa ni Pastor Jovan in Leviticus 19 verse 18, sabi doon, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love one another, or you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, he reiterated yung command na to. He summed it up into two commands. Sabi niya, love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. But certainly, hindi na po ito bago para sa mga disciples. But what makes it new, yung commandment na to, is not the idea ng pagmamahal or yung principles ng pagmamahal, ngunit sa kung paano ba dapat o yung, kung ano ba yung standard na pagmamahal na ito. Kung sa Old Testament sinabi niya, you should love your neighbor as yourself, makita po natin ngayon in the new commandment that the standard now of loving is Christ. Just as I have loved you. Ang salita na love po dito ay hindi po ito parang passing lang. Sinabi natin kanina parang idea. But it is in a verb form. It is in an action word. Ibig po sabihin dito that this is a kind of love that is selfless. A kind of love that is unconditional. So why did Jesus modify yung Leviticus 19:18? Or we can say na yung lahat ng Mosaic law. The answer is because Jesus perfectly lived it out sa kanyang buhay nung nandito siya and even fulfilled it hanggang sa kanyang kamatayan. Jesus perfectly lived it out. Matthew 5 verse 17, nakikita natin sinabi niya doon, do not think that I came to abolish, or I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now, yung ginawa po ni Jesus Christ, instead in the Old Testament, it is written on a tablet, on a scroll, or now here, he is putting it to the heart of his own people. He's implanting it to the heart of his own people. Those things are natural now to God's people because of the regeneration na ibinigay niya sa atin, a new heart na ibinigay niya sa atin. Because the kind of love that Jesus mentioned here is a kind of love that is present now sa buhay natin bilang isang redeemed. This is unique and this is brand new. in its essence, kasi si Jesus raised yung standard dito. Again, yung love po dito is not just an idea or base sa may feeling lang. But this is an action. What else yung sinabi niya dito? Again, in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Notice kung sino yung object ng love na ito. One another. One another. In our context, that is your fellow redeemed Christians. Let's narrow it down. That is your church. That is Crossroads or members ng Crossroads. Mga kaibigan, ito po ang dahilan kung bakit tayo inireconcile ng Diyos sa kanyang sarili. To reconcile us to one another. Where God's love and glory in and through Christ is present. Through the church, His name will be magnified. Friends, the question is how much do we love our brothers and sisters here? The church, nothing. But one good problem that we have right now is that we are growing, di po ba? We are growing in numbers. And we praise God that this is a good problem, na dumadami po tayo. Now, this coming Tuesday, we will have, again, sinabi ko kanina, we will have this baptism. So this is a good time for us to witness again yung gospel being presented or being fleshed out doon sa DCC. And we will witness brothers and sisters who have been reconciled by God sa kanyang sarili. Now, one example ng kung paano ni Jesus Christ exemplify yung pagmamahal nito is during sa chapter 13, sa beginning ng chapter 13. Hindi po yung literal na washing of the feet, but the humble service that Jesus exemplified sa atin. And we praise God that this is exemplified ng bawat isa sa atin. Yung sinasabi natin na a kind or humble kind of service. We see every Sunday coming here na nakaset up na po yung lahat. We praise God for the lives of the set up team. We even praise God for the volunteer teachers who teach our kids while we are here gathering together and learning God's Word. We praise God for the multimedia who prepare yung mga bagay nito na nakikita natin o inawakan natin within the week. We praise God for the music team, for the connection team, the CG leaders and co-leaders na nag-prepare in advance para turuan tayo. And through informal ministries that we have dito sa church natin. Again, we are growing and we would love to have or to see more members involving yung kanilang buhay sa mga bagay nito, sa mga ministries nito. Well, another example na makikita natin dito how Jesus portrayed His love is by loving and teaching si Judas. Jesus knew from the beginning or from the start that Judas would betray Him. But Jesus, in spite of the truth, He loved him. Jesus taught him with His word, loved him as His brother or as His friend and His friend. Mga kaibigan, do we love like Jesus? Do we love those who are hostile to us? Another example is in verse 36, si Simon Peter. Jesus loved him and forgave him, even Simon denied Jesus 3 times. Friends, is our love marked with forgiveness? But on the other hand, are we not tolerating sin? It's because of the name of love. Do we call sin, sin? Because these examples of how Jesus loved us is also true sa kanyang mga redeemed, sa kanyang community, to the people of the kingdom. Again, we do not do this because we want to win God's favor. We don't do this because we want to win yung salvation na meron tayo ngayon. But we do this because we have God's favor already in Christ Jesus. That is the mark ng or seal na binigay sa atin ng Panginoon. The presence of the Holy Spirit grows us in those areas. Makikita natin in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23, yung fruit ng Holy Spirit. Sabi doon, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Listen to how Paul described yung love na ito in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Sabi niya doon, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endure all things. And this is love. And this is not easy. But these are given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we can exercise, we can be shaped on this kind of love by helping one another dito sa loob ng iglesia. We can grow in this sanctifying love by being or by being with God's people. At church, we got a chance to speak to one another through words, to hear correction, to receive comfort, to receive prayer for one another. And so this is a good reminder din sa atin that if we truly profess that we are Christians, truly redeemed and disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are a member of a church. And if we are not a member of a church, if we are not a member of a church, then perhaps we have a low view of how God redeemed us. Because God redeemed us in order to reconcile us to Himself, but to one another also. So the question is, baka, or perhaps, this is a sign that we are not truly regenerate. Why? Again, because God in Christ, through the power of His Holy Spirit, has reconciled us to Himself and reconciled us to one another. We would have this kind of love para sa kanyang iglesia, a kind of love para sa Diyos, if we are truly redeemed. Paano ko nasabi ito? Tingnan po natin yung verse 35. Yung sabi niya dyan, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Mga kaibigan, verse 35 po tells us how important for God's redeemed to live out yung commandment na ito. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. It is important because our love for one another is a means na ginagamit ng Diyos in order for non-believers to see, to understand, to realize that the love of God in Christ Jesus is real. Our love serves as a light. Our love serves as a signpost to non-believers na kasama mo sa trabaho, kasama mo sa iyong bahay, kasama mo o sa asawa mo, sa anak mo. God used this for them to know, to inquire, and even be compelled of a kind of love that we have each other, we have for each other. Ito po ang ibig sabihin ng salitang no dito. That is to take knowledge or to come to know or to realize. Tayo po yung ginagamit ng Diyos as an embassy dito sa mundo for people to come and can come into His kingdom, to know yung King na to. That is si Jesus Christ. Friends, does our love or does our life point others to Christ? Nakikita ba ng anak mo, ng asawa mo, na makasama mo sa flat o sa office ang pagmamahal ng Diyos sa buhay mo? Do we talk about the gospel and our fellowship to your workplace? O mas naririnig nila yung reklamo natin sa trabaho? One tangible example of how our love for one another exemplify dito is yung gathering natin serves as a signpost to others is yung nangyari a few weeks ago. Just one of the staff sa hotel na to received a book. He is inquiring a book there sa may ating bookstall. And he received a free book. So this is a good reminder sa atin bilang isang community that there are people from outside looking inside. They are looking in how we treat one another, how we stir up one another in love and in unity. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 3:10. How God used the church to display yung manifold witness niya sa mundo. In Ephesians 3:10, sabi niya, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might know or be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Ginagamit po tayo ng Panginoon right dito. But in the contrary, in verse 35, sabi niya, if you have love for one another. On the other hand, yung sober reminder po dito that Jesus gave us is this. Yung if dito is a diminishing kind of possibility na people inside the church will not love each other. And devastating effect nito is that we fail to exercise yung love na kinaman sa atin ng Panginoon. And it represents an opposite effect ng sinabi natin doon sa taas. It serves or it tarnish yung pangalan ng ating Panginoon. It gives false impression sa ating Diyos na sinasamba. And so I encourage you to involve yourself to the church. Be part of God's church, kahit hindi man dito sa Crossroads. This is important for your soul, mga kaibigan. If you are here and you are not part of a church, be part of a church. Members, I'd like to use yung encouragement ni, or reminder ni Paul para sa isang young follower ni Jesus Christ and a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ na si Timothy. A young pastor. Ito po yung naging reminder niya sa kanya. And I'd like to end here. Sabi niya, watch your life and doctrine. Watch your life and doctrine. Our life is a manifestation kung ano po, kung paano tayo namumuhay, is an evidence kung ano po natin pinaniniwalaan. At kung ano po, kung paano po tayo mamuhay, is a manifestation po kung ano po yung ating pinaniniwalaan. That's two-way. Friends, a true disciple of Christ is marked by love that demonstrates God's glory to the world or to the watching world. Manalangin po tayo. Lord, help us to continue to grow in beholding Christ sa buhay namin. Na yung maging natural consequence nito is our deep and growing love for one another. Enable us, Lord, to be steadfast in our love to you as we go out to the world. Keep us in your name and protect us against the evil one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.